Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Cooper Bates. Cooper co-founded the world's first designer breath mint company, Hint Mint. Cooper also created the TEDx concept, and then he co-founded and produced TEDx Skid Row. He's a playwright currently touring two award-winning solo shows, as well as being the founder of the card game I Think, Therefore I Question. And Cooper, every time I look at my Audrey Kawasaki Thin Mint or Hint Mint collection, I think of you. So thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you very kindly. It's a beautiful day and I got my health, so got my family here. So what else is there?
Yes, we're really, really delighted that you're joining us, and we can't wait to hear what you have to tell us about.
Well, same here. So let's get crack-a-lackin', which is cool. One of my favorite new words. Okay.
Sounds good. Tell us about the Yeti 400.
Oh, man. The Yeti 400. Okay. Well, a little context. We are big campers. We have a Eurovan, and so I like to go out on my own sometimes also to just be able to write, as I am a playwright, you know, and you need power. You need power. And so I've had battery chargers and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. But the thing that has saved the day for me is this thing called the Yeti 400. It's the size of a car battery, so it's kind of heavy. But it's an amazingly beautifully designed compact powerhouse. The one that I have is a Goal Zero. So it's called Goal Zero Yeti 400. It has two ports. So like if you two, 120 ports. So if you wanted to plug in like a small lamp or a small fan, or anything with a ground, you know, that you plug into a wall. You
can do like that. AC power.
Is it a generator? Is it generating this power, like a gasoline generator?
It stores the power. So you plug it in.
It's a big battery. It's just storage battery.
Oh, cool. Exactly. Charge it at home and then take it on your trip.
Yeah, with a big handle on the top. So you can charge. I don't actually know. I never tried it, but it's also got a cigarette port here too. I don't know if you could charge it in your car while you're driving, but probably. It's also got two USB ports on it. So, and it'll charge. The great thing is, if you shut off your Wi-Fi, if you shut off your Bluetooth on your computer, I can run my computer for 3 days on it. You know, if I dim the screen a little bit too, which is very cool. And if I want to just have it around to make sure that my phone's charging, I can recharge my phone 30 times with it. So
that's incredible. That's so nice.
Yeah. It's very cool. And you can also get solar panels for it, which I haven't quite done because I haven't had a need for it.
And how would you normally recharge it?
Bring it home and just plug it into the.
And how long does it take to recharge when you plug it in?
I mean, if you kill this thing, it'll take 6 to 8 hours. So you kind of have to be ready for it. But if you, you know, what I also do is I cheat a little bit. I'll be honest with you. You know, there's tons of coffee shops all over the place or a laundromat. And if I'm really desperate, and I don't want to go into the night with no charge, then I'll go in, I'll work in there and I'll just charge it. It's not a big deal. It's pretty inconspicuous, to be honest with you.
And so it's a lead acid battery, which is exactly like the kind you have in your car, which means that it's heavy because it's lead.
Yeah.
But that's also why it's so dependable, is because it's.
Yeah.
But have you looked at a lithium version, a lithium ion version, or one of the more modern ones?
You know, there's one on Kickstarter that I was looking at that was lithium ion, and it looked very cool. It's a lot lighter. It's a lot smaller. But the thing that was really cool about it is that you could chain them to each other. So if I had one and my buddy Bill had one and Joey had one, we could be camping and just link them all together and give us extra power, and we could end up, you know, powering a refrigerator, you know, instead of each of us having to have a big, 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 heavy one. But I like this one. You know, when you get something, I feel like you gotta go in all in with it. You know, I'm kind of faithful that way. So, So the next thing that I will do is get solar panels. I've had this for about a year now. And I'm talking to a guy now. He says, "Oh man, you don't ever have to charge it. You can just keep it in the sun all day and it'll be fine if you put solar panels to it." So that's what I'm going to do.
That would be cool. I also noticed there's like an LCD display that's got like quite a bit of information. That seems like that would be kind of helpful for you.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Training and everything.
I hate those devices that are power generating in some form or another, and there's no indicator. You know, like what's the point? Like who does that? Yeah. You still find that stuff once in a while. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you looked at, you know, they make these really tiny little, jump starter batteries that are basically lithium ions. And I'm wondering if they would be able to, they can jump start a car, whether they have enough power for what you want to do for a day or two or three.
I don't know. I have two of them. I have the one that I was, that I just sent you guys, which is mm-hmm. relatively new for me. Uh-huh. I haven't played with it a whole lot. But I also have an old school one that one of those jumpers. It's called, I didn't write it down for you guys, but it's called the JNC 660. It's called the jump and carry. And it's the kind, if you were to call AAA, the guy or girl,
right.
Or they gets out of the truck and this is what they have in their hand. Right. And I can use this to power my computer off of it, but I don't, you know, power your computer, because it doesn't say specifically that it'll run a MacBook Pro, for example, and mm-hmm. Apple products or their power management system is really can be particular, and I don't want to mess that up, but I will charge my phone off of it. And I love these jumper things. It's just a segue into it. I have, you know, when I was going through these tools, these cool tools, I realized that, yes, they do serve me. And I love that, obviously, because I spend, you know, a decent amount of time by myself writing in all different types of environments. But a lot of my tools are, I see them as community builders also. So with this Yeti 400, I'll put it out there. And if I were camping and somebody like, "Oh man, I forgot my charger," they can use mine, you know. The whole jumper thing that I love carrying this thing around in my car. How often does your car battery die? But the thing about it is I'm always running up on somebody, and it's just really nice to be able to just jump out instead of them having to pull their car around and look out for traffic and hook the cables up. The cables are obsolete for in my opinion, because these jumpers are so small now and they are so powerful. You can jump your car four or five times with them and they fit in your glove box.
Okay. So could you tell us about that jumper one then?
The one that I use all the time, the one that I've had the longest, is called the JNC 660.
Mm-hmm. And the other one that you were just talking about that you were suggesting as a cool tool?
The MicroStart. It's an XP10. Yeah. This other jumper, the JNC 660, is akin to the Yeti 400. So they have some weight and girth mm-hmm. to them. Where uh-huh. She was thinking, "Oh, you know, I'd like to be able to use it and put it in our glove box and not have you around to lift it for me." So that's why we have it.
That's great. And so the price of the Yeti 400, I think it's around $400 or something.
Yeah, they range. Because mm-hmm. I think there's one smaller, and then there are two that are bigger. So anywhere from $250 roughly to about $1,300. This one that I have is right in that $400 sweet spot.
Okay, cool. And I mean, it's 396 watt hours, which is an awful lot. And like compared to like a typical phone charger that might be like, you know, 10 watt hours.
Yes.
For a typical one. So it's like you're looking at 50 times as much juice.
Yes. Which explains why you can charge your phone so many times, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So next on your list, you have another Yeti item that you like, and it's a cooler of some kind.
Is it same Yeti company? Is it?
Yeah.
It is.
I'm a nut. You know, there's two family companies that I spend way too much time and money with, and one is Apple and one is Yeti. So I have a Yeti Tundra ice cooler. And this thing is a rock star, man. It is amazing. So best use out of it. So if you want to go do some barbecue and you're going to go out with a bunch of people for the weekend, and you guys, everybody wants to have cold beer. You could put, if you fill this thing to the top with ice and just shut it, and no matter how hot it is outside, it'll stay, the cubes will stay intact for about 4 days, 4 to 5 days.
Wow.
If you end up putting drinks in it and you take drinks out, you know, you can do that all weekend, mm-hmm. and then you'll still have ice for, like, we take off on a Friday, we'll still have ice in there on Sunday. But it's kryptonite is when you put hot stuff in it all the time. Like you'll open it up, you'll take something else out, and you'll put something warm or, you know, room temperature in it to cool it down. Well, that obviously works against the whole system. But as long as you're not putting anything warm in it, you'd be amazed at how long the ice lasts. And you can sit on it. It's really rugged. You could stand on it. It doesn't really scratch that easily. The texture is really like a really dense plastic. It's bear proof. So you can put a lock on it, like one of those real thin cable locks that you would lock a bike up with, mm-hmm. and then hook it to a tree and nobody will.
Well,
people, typically campers are not dirty and not going to steal your stuff. But the important thing is that you can leave your food in it and it's bear proof.
It comes in a variety of sizes. Do you have the biggest one or?
Yeah, I can't remember. 45 gallons, yeah. 45 cubic or whatever it is. I can't remember that.
I think the largest actually may be a 65.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
so. So you have somewhere to move up to. You're not done yet.
No, I do. I do. We have a limited space in our van though, so I'll probably never do that.
I noticed it's $300, so it really is like the Apple.
Yeah, it is. It is
coolers because you're paying for it. But it sounds like it's worth it. You really are recommending this.
I do recommend it. Mm-hmm. You know, I love money. I love my money. So I'm not really joyous to part with it all the time. But when things make me happy, it works for me. And again, when I feel so proud when somebody will say, "Hey, man, can I use your Yeti cooler this weekend?" It just makes me smile.
Cool.
You know, because I love that. Yeah.
And it comes in different colors, it looks like, as well.
Yeah, different colors. They also have different Yeti. They are an outdoor adventure company. That's what they do. So they do it well. So they have soft coolers. They have hard coolers. They have small coolers. They have big coolers. They have water bottles. I was going to get into my whole water bottle collection, but whatever. But they do really well. The soft ones, I've never used them. I've thought about it, but they're almost
soft coolers.
You know, they look like those big, sturdy Trader Joe's refrigerator bags that you not refrigerated, but those big, insulated
bags.
Yeah. But they're better designed and they're good looking. But they're almost the same price. I'm like, man, I feel like if you're going to do it, you might as well. I can't stand on that bag, put it that
way. You can't sit on
it. Can't sit. Yeah. So
this one is like multi-purpose.
So some of them have wheels, a wheel version. Do you have the wheeled version?
We do not, and that sucks. It sucks, and it's a beautiful thing because one thing, it really makes me, I'm aware that I'm working out when I'm hauling that thing around, but I'm the only one who can haul it around. So there is that downside, and you're not gonna go backpacking with it. You know, whereas I wouldn't go backpacking necessarily with a wheeled one, but I would hit the trail and do like a half mile in. But with this, there's no way. It stays in the right outside the car. Right. I can make it to the picnic table with it, you know?
Very cool.
And then it fills with water, so there's must be a drain and all that usual kind of stuff for
There's a drain on the side, and it's a high quality drain. So every time you get home or you just uncork it and let the water drain out, you leave it open, and then when it dries out, you screw it back in. Those corks are expensive if you lose them, like $40. So keep an eye
it's
on
like
them.
Like Apple stuff.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's got a cool, like a rack, like a tray that you can put on the inside of it. That's really good quality iron, or wire.
Is that to like keep stuff away from touching the ice?
Yeah. So you can put your butter in there, you know, and the stuff that is more.
So it doesn't float
water.
Away.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And you can get big ones and small ones. And we have one that takes up about half the size of the top of the, you know, so it's great. I can't say enough about that thing. I love that thing. We've had that about a year also.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like we've got a theme here. We're going to talk about another piece of gear that looks like it's good for the outdoors. It's a lamp or a like a light.
Oh yeah.
Illuminate.
Yeah. I met really that cool. woman at a conference a few years ago, and I can't remember her story exactly, but you know, she was the founder
maybe.
And she made these bags. She made these lights that are solar powered lamps effectively. And I got one for free. It was in the goodie bag, and I brought it home. I didn't really think too much about it. And it was all packed up. Like it's about the size of it's longer than one of like a modern wallet. But it's real thin like that. And when you unfold it, it's about the size of a book, and you can blow it up or you can keep it deflated. Either way, it illuminates the room. You get more room, kind of a more of a glow if you blow it up, and it'll last hours on a single sort of solar charge. I loved it so much.
Does it have a built-in solar panel on it?
It does. It does. Nice. That's what that thing is on the front. And it has two modes for brightness, like a bright and then a dimmer version of the bright. It's got a handle. And it's very, and it's pretty, and it's durable. It is. I got mine in the goodie bag. I ended up buying about 15 of them. They're around $20. Mm-hmm. And I took them to Africa. I was doing helping a team make a documentary about the nomads. And I just happened to take them. I was giving them, my intention was to give them away to people that I felt like, oh, I like you. I want to make you happy. And here's an American sort of like prize just for being for making me smile or whatever. But I ended up learning that a lot of women perish along with their kids in childbirth. And a big reason is because there's no light. And so I ended up giving almost all those bags to women. And I took a bunch of pictures, and I get thank you notes all the time or emails, not all the time because they don't have any digital access, but they're very grateful and they still have them, and they're we ended up getting more to send to them, and they're just the most, because a lot of these things. You when you're looking for portable solar lamps of some variety, they're clunky or hard, you know. Whereas this, you can literally fold it up and put it in your front or back pocket, and it's cool. And you can sit on it, and and that is everything. Not sit on it and support you like a Yeti cooler, but you can sit on it and it's not in the way. And and
yeah, right, like, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
or not break it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, cool. I can't say enough about it. They've done a redesign, just to jump in there, which I don't like. So now they have what looks like they've copied other people that make it look like a box, but I don't like that because they're not as soft. This one, unfortunately. But hey, whatever.
That's too bad. Okay, well, the Luminade, and I see they have like an upgraded version that has a little phone charger too, so that you can not only light up things but charge your phone. That's kind of cool.
That is pretty cool. I'll give them that. Maybe I'll get one and give it a try. Thank you.
give them a point there.
Yeah, I'll give them a point there.
Yeah.
But if you're really doing it right, you don't need to charge your phone because you're supposed to be detoxing digital when you're out and about, you know?
Yeah.
You mean not in Africa, but here when we're
camping. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, come on, you got to unplug sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So Cooper, you're an entrepreneur, and I met you in LA, and you have this interesting company called Hint Mint.
Yes.
And what I really liked was that it had like art from like really great contemporary artists on the packaging. And so they became like collector's items actually. And you can like find them on eBay now and stuff. It was like a really cool idea. So you're always working on interesting projects and stuff. You've got something coming up. I think by the time this comes out, the Kickstarter will be in operation. Tell us about this card game that you've created and what it, what its purpose is and how people who are interested in it can participate.
Ah, my pleasure. So yeah, I don't know if you recall, but when we met, obviously I like to talk and I like to ask a lot of questions. I think that questions are our greatest hope to really get to know people instead of just sort of small talking, right? Obviously, people complain about small talk quite a bit. So I've been at this question thing a very long time. When I was in high school, literally, I was graduating and I went to say goodbye to somebody's mother or to somebody's, my best friend's family. And then his mother gave me a hug and said, you know, I'm going to miss you because you ask interesting questions. And I was really struck by that. And when people give you a compliment, I typically don't like to compliment people on something that they can alter because I feel like they become disingenuous because they're always aware of it. So I suffered from that a little bit for a few years, but then I realized that my intent is that I'm always interested in people. So I just kind of kept it up. And so here we are, we have the company and we've kind of semi-retired from it. And I needed another project. And then COVID came around. And I was like, oh, wow. And then my plays started getting canceled too. So it's like, hey, here's a good opportunity for me to develop this card game. Even though I'd been collecting questions for years and years and years. And so that's what I have. And the difference
how does the game work? Could you just describe, first of all, what the game looks like and how you play it briefly?
Absolutely. So it's a conversation deck predominantly. The game is how you can, there's nothing to win, but getting to know each other better. So if you're sitting around a table, for example, there are ways that you can play it. You can go around the table and say, okay, we're going to ask this question, and whoever has the best answer gets to keep that card, right? And then whoever has the most cards at the end of the however many cards you go through is the winner. Or you could play it where the backs of the cards have questions, obviously, but they're all color-coded also. And so let's say if you and I and Mark sat down, and you chose red, Mark chose blue, and I chose blue, well, every card that has blue on it, that's a card that both Mark and I would have to answer. going through the deck. So there's that kind of thing. And then there's these key cards that are in it also. So if a card made you uncomfortable, you could pass on it, but you could only pass on one question. If you wanted somebody to elaborate further, you could put that card in and they would have to elaborate. You could make, if a question was so interesting that you wanted the entire group to play it, you put that card in so that the entire group would have to answer that question. So I've tried to come up with as many scenarios as I could to make people sort of engage. The design.
What's an example of a question?
Okay, somebody, a friend of yours, do you find yourself apologizing for something over and over, right? And so let's say you say, man, I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry I forgot to get you dinner. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. Well, at some point, have you ever really thought about what your apology means to the other person? Like, have you ever checked in with that? And so then does your apology, is it really just an excuse? Are you saying, excuse me, instead of I'm sorry? Because when you're saying I'm sorry, you're really saying that I'm going to alter my behavior. So that is a question but it's more concise on the card. Another question is, where do souls come from? Do you think that souls are, like there's an infinite number of souls out there in the universe somewhere, and then when you're born, a soul just comes down and fills the body? Or are souls recycled every time somebody dies? If you had to go for a Guinness Book of World Records, you absolutely had to, what would it be?
And so there's one question per card, and then you have a box. It's like kind of a very nice made box. And and then there's, I guess, instructions for how to play with the cards.
Yes.
And so this will be a Kickstarter. And I'm curious in a kind of meta level about the production. This is an artifact. This is a well-made, good-looking box and everything. Just overseeing the production of that is a full-time job in one sense. What have you learned or discovered about doing that?
What I've learned about production, I learned effectively when we produced Hintmint, when we launched that company 20 years ago, it's the same process. No matter what you're making, you still have to find, first of all, you have to find somebody or do it yourself, but you have to design, you have to think out your project and then find, check out the market and see if there's a place for you and then figure out where that is. If you're like low end, broad or high end or whatever, then you have to design it. Then you have to like find a manufacturer. Then you have to like, it's very, very, very complicated, but it's like, I always akin it to producing a movie because you need there's a lot of parts and you need a lot of participants in order to like bring it all together. I've had a lot of fun with this. I want this product to be really beautiful because I am an artist in my heart. And so I want it to appeal to people and move people even when it's on the shelf. And it's called I Think Therefore I Question with sort of an adaptation of Rodin's thinker. And when people see it and it's like, it's a black box and it's a heavy duty chipboard box, like an Apple iPhone box, for example. And when they read the title, I Think Therefore I Question, I want them to mold that over. And that should be something that they adopt for their lifestyle, like just thinking and questioning everything. So if they end up getting the box, maybe they get one for themselves because they love it. And then once they get into it, they'll get another one for their friends. This idea also, like every time I go to somebody's house for dinner, I used to take a bottle of wine because you want to bring something for the host. But then when I started producing, events like these TEDx events or idea projects events, I always noticed that our events were slightly different than every other event that I went to. And when I go to functions or birthday parties or dinner parties or conferences or whatever, a lot of people are left to their own devices. They just like, they don't know anybody. And if they bring somebody, they stick to that one person, you know, the whole time. Where we always tried to make sure that everybody had an experience. So we would actually hire people whose sole job was to go talk to people if they saw people standing by themselves. And then every time we have a dinner party, I want people to be one conversation around the table, you know, instead of, you know, all this noise that's just ricketing back and forth. And so that's what this deck is. And if you buy a deck, I think it makes a great dinner party gift. You can give it to your host and you can say, I think this will give you more joy for a longer period of time than any bottle of wine I could bring over here.
Right.
So
the technical term for that single conversation is called a Jeffersonian conversation. And we employ it both at the Long Now Foundation when we have our dinners, and also when I do my walk and talks, which we have a group of people, we walk for a week somewhere as a group, and we have the single conversation, single topic at dinner. And that's always the highlight. That's always the highlight for the entire week, and people remember those forever because everybody gets to nominate one subject. But the idea of having around a question would be really cool. It's a neat idea. Looking at your picture of the box on the Kickstarter page, it reminds me a little bit of the set of cards that Brian Eno made, the Oblique Strategies. Have you ever seen those?
No, actually.
So Brian Eno made a deck of cards, and it's nicely produced, really smart, a little box. The box looks very similar to your box. And the purpose of the cards were prompts to use when you were stuck creatively, when you were didn't know what to do, when you were looking for inspiration. And they were prompts to do things like ignore the middle, stop, what would your mother do? Discover what the recipe is and then abandon it. Start the edge. You know, all these kinds of crazy radical stuff. And so, but the point is that it's a very handsome, well-made artifact. And that looks like what you're producing here.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking at it now online. I totally agree. It is in that vein. And good looking. Yes. I think that design is everything, honestly. I think that if you have beautiful design, it just moves people in and of itself. And that was something I really wanted to get across with this, you know, so.
That's cool. And I think they're like almost like companion decks.
Yeah.
Cooper, yours are like prompts for thinking and conversation. And then Eno's are like prompts for action, and they could work well.
No, there you go. Yeah. I totally agree.
I love the idea though of coming to a dinner party with one of these and leaving with the host, but also having the evening revolve around it. I think that's a brilliant idea. Whether in fact you could even make another kind of a deck that wasn't just questions, but maybe it has a mixture of the prompts.
Yeah, for sure. I will do another deck. I have four decks in mind, and they're all quite different. The last time we had a dinner party, it was Christmas, I guess, and we had 30 people come over. And so when everybody would come in the door, we had a notepad and a shoebox, and you had to write down something, just anything off the top of your head, something you wanted to know more about. And it was absolutely, you were obliged to do this. And so everybody participated. And then when halfway through dinner, we brought the box out and put it in the center of the table, and everybody reached in and took out something. And then they had to answer that question that was on the paper as if they were an expert on the subject. And that was amazing. It's so amazing. When you get people on the same page, like that walk that you were talking about earlier, it really elevates your experience to the next level. It just does. You have that collective, like all those collective thoughts and ideas that are all in one conversation. Right, right. There's just nothing like it.
Yeah. Just to emphasize that, this walk and talk that we do, Craig Mogg and I do it with a small group of people, 10 to 12. And we walk all day long, and you're talking about anything you want, but in the morning, a question has been given, and that's the question for the evening, or the topic, I should say. And then we have this single conversation about the single topic. And then the next day, someone else gets to choose the next topic. And we go through the whole thing. So you're walking all day, having a great, great conversation. And then at night, you're having this single conversation. And I tell you, it's one of the most memorable things you can do for a week with a group of people, often who don't know each other very well. And there's nothing that really brings people together and understanding is walking for and talking for our entire week.
You guys actually do walk for an entire week?
Yeah. Walk and talks.
How far?
Oh, just about 100 miles or so.
Jeez.
But we stay in hotels and we have luggage forwarding. We do it in Japan or England or China or somewhere like that. And so you're free to just absorb what's happening and to share that amazement with someone else and find out about them as you're going along. So it's kind of like a stroll, I guess. Uh-huh. It's not like hiking where we have backpacks. We carry almost nothing.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. And that is one of the questions in the deck. Like, what experiences have you encountered in your life that you find fascinating? And that is fascinating. And it's things like that. Like, in we're having this conversation, so you are kind of led to share that with me. But if you're not in accord with who you're talking with, you'll never get to those kinds of interesting questions because you will spend so much time talking about the weather and the news.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This focuses it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. There was a set of questions that kind of went around. There was David Rowan, who used to be the editor at Wired UK, mm-hmm. started something. And there was a set of questions he developed with some help of some psychologists that were meant to bring people together almost immediately by bypassing the small talk and going to very deep questions. And I was present at one of the events where he ran that, and it was amazing because you're kind of, I wouldn't say randomly assigned, but you're assigned to people that you don't know very well. You might mm-hmm. even know them, but not well. And then within 5 minutes, you're almost sharing things you've never shared with anybody else. and they were being prompted by a set of questions.
Right.
That were meant and kind of engineered to bring you down to the most intimate level very, very quickly. And often the questions were about starting with your parents. Okay. And so that would very quickly lead people to some level of honesty. That was really amazing.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. Well, I could talk for seriously a year straight on my parents alone. this deck really focuses on social behavior in a weird way. Like there's lots and lots and lots and lots of card decks out there. Like if people want to look this up in a week when it actually launches, they just plug in conversation decks, they're going to come up with, dozens of them. But they're all along the lines of, if you had a superpower, what would it be? How do you feel right now? When's the last time you were happy? Et cetera, et cetera. Whereas I grew up in this really small town, and even though I feel like I was popular enough, I still felt isolated in many ways. And my parents weren't really parents to me because they had me when they were 17, and so they didn't really know what they were doing. And so more than anything, we all were like roommates. They took care of the housing and food. And left us, we had no, we never sat down at the table together, period, ever. We never took a vacation together. No. We just didn't do anything. Didn't listen to music together, nothing at all. So I feel like that I am somewhat underdeveloped in my social interaction acumen. And so some of these questions, I'm just trying to figure out life. And so I like asking people, if somebody borrows your book and they return it and they've highlighted a lot of pages in it, what do you do with that? Like, do you just let that go, or do you call them out on it? And it's your favorite book. Or if somebody borrows your car and they dent it, and it's not enough to, you know, put it in the shop, but you got a scratch on your car and you don't like that, you know? So do you, and they don't offer to pay for that. What do you do about that? It's like, you know, or your girlfriend, you go into your, you catch your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your other, reading your journal, and they don't see you reading your, that you don't, they don't know that you've caught them. Well, do you storm into the room and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" Or do you kind of back out, because now you get a chance to let them come to you on their terms, and you get to see what kind of trust you have or don't have between that person. It seems like every day I'm running up against something that I just kind of don't know how to play it. And so it's been fun to ask other people these things. And it's amazing how people open up about that as well.
That sounds so great. Could you tell us, what's the best place that people can go to find out about the Kickstarter and you and your photography and all that? Do you have one place that's like a great jumping off point for everything about Cooper Bates?
CooperBatesPhotography.com probably has the most information about me right now.
Okay.
But I will do that. And then I think cards.com will be hot in three days. It'll be up on Monday.
Okay, that sounds good. And we'll definitely have a link to this in the show notes so people can see. And when does the Kickstarter start, actually?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday. So we're talking about 11, 12, 13, July 14th.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Kickstarter will be in progress probably by the time this one comes up, but there will still be time to go check it out and participate.
Beautiful.
Cooper, thank you so much. No. This has been great talking to you.
You guys, thank you, and keep doing what you're doing. And I'd love to hear more about your walks, seriously.
Yeah, we love conversation, and so do you, and it's been really, really fun. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Take care of yourself.
Hey everybody, it's Mark from the Cool Tools Podcast. I want to thank you for being a listener to Cool Tools, and I also would like to let you know about our Patreon page. If you would like to support the Cool Tools show, as well as our video channel, the website, and all the newsletters that we do, you can go to patreon.com/cooltools, that's just one word, Cool Tools, and pledge any amount you want. You could even pledge $1 a month. Every little bit helps. We have editors, we pay for transcribing costs, we pay our reviewers. Every bit of money that you contribute goes towards supporting the show. I'd like to give a shout out to our supporters of the Cool Tools Podcast. This week, I'd like to thank the following Patreon supporters: Bill Schuler, Bob Kay, Ryan Pelly, Carl D. Patterson, Chad Cosby, Chris Wieland, Chris Weirstook, Craig Tooker, Dan O'Brien, Dean Putney, Danelle Cunningham, Evan Barker, Graham Medlin, Hans Riesbeck, Helen Hegedus, Jerry Kearns, Jim Lesko, Jim Spofford, John Pollock, John Burdenbaugh, Keith O., Ken Altman, Les Howard, Lauren Bast, Mock Nerd, Malton Make, Mark Goebel, Matt Gromes, Michael Douglas, Michael Jones, and Michael Pecorini. Thanks to all of you for supporting the Cool Tools Show. We really appreciate it.